All right. Good evening, Faith. Let's do the appropriate thing and pray real quick before I start in. Our Father and our God, we're thankful that we can come and dig into your word. Lord, help me to teach it appropriately. Be with me, Lord, and keep my thoughts together. Help it to be spoken clearly. Lord, help us to retain it, trust in your word, and apply it to our lives. In Christ's name, amen. So I chose more of a topic to speak on tonight rather than a piece of scripture. The topic that I would like to talk about is the fear that sin causes. The fear that sin causes. And it's a topic that's interested me, of course, since the very before I was saved, because it caught my interest. So, and every time I've thought about it since, it always gives me goosebumps. So I've never taught on it before. I've taught upon it a little bit here and there through messages on hell, of course, or things like this. But I've never taken time to specifically teach on the fear that sin causes. What's the opposite of fear? Peace, right? Peace. I think this will help us with our study. We'll be talking a lot about peace. In the center of Hiroshima, where the former expedition hall used to be, where the ruins sit, there's a large sign that just says one word, peace. That's it. And we all know what that means. Man has longed for it forever. There's been very few years of global peace. We find it tricky to find because by ourselves we don't know how to acquire or obtain it. Peace can be a stability of mind. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, "Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." So true heartfelt peace isn't just the absence of conflict with something else. We need something to have peace. I hope you know what true peace comes from. I trust you do. It's God. Here's a question, and it'll be our point number one. Can the wicked have peace? The wicked cannot have peace. Job 15:20. "The wicked man writhes with pain all his days, and the number of his years are hidden from the oppressor." Isaiah 48:22. "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." Isaiah 59:8. "The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made for themselves crooked paths, and whoever takes that way shall not know peace." Point number one, wicked do not know peace. The world does not recognize true peace. Jeremiah 6:14 says, "The leaders and false prophets lie to the people saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." We get lied to today. We've brought 6,000 troops back home from Afghanistan. We're quelling it down. Now we've sent 10. You hear the back page of the paper. There is no peace amongst men. So this happens to us today. We know no peace. The wicked know no peace. Number two, God calls His saints to peace. God calls us to peace. We just went through Romans. Romans 12:8. "As much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men." As much as it depends on you. That part always strikes me. Pastor gave me some excellent advice when we first came here. I had to reconcile with another Christian. I didn't necessarily think I'd done everything wrong. Now, I haven't done everything perfect. So Pastor says, "Why don't you, the next time you see the man, tell him you're sorry for what you did and that you're sorry for your part in this. Everything that depends on you. So as much as dependent on you, do that." And you know what? A week later, I saw the guy moving a couch and he needed help. And I got to go help moving a couch and I got to tell him sorry. So use that. But live peaceably with all men. Colossians 3:15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body. And be thankful." Hebrews 12:14. "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." God calls us to a peace. He expects us to keep His commandments. In return, we get a peace of mind, is what we call it. Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him." I love that verse. When a man's ways pleases the Lord, his enemies are even at peace with him. Peace leads to more peace, and God calls us to that peace. So, point number two was God calls His saints to peace. That's quite a tall order, but point number three helps us out here. God grants peace as a gift through Jesus Christ. It's a gift, so we can be comforted. Acts 10:36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:19-20, for it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always in every way. He's the Lord of peace, and He can give you peace always. Christ opened up a way for peace, not only between man and man in some instances, between man and God. And we should be thankful for that, that God gave us an opening to have peace. Peace in our hearts. True peace. The fourth thing I'd like to bring out tonight, and I know some of these points are oddly placed, so we'll touch on them again, but a righteous heart is needed to have peace. So I would ask you to open your Bibles with me now. Philippians 4. You'll be familiar with it. Philippians 4. We'll start at verse 6. A righteous heart is needed for peace. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So look at verse 7. The peace of God, so something that comes from God. And in verse 9, they call Him the God of peace. So this trait is communicable. Not only can God have it Himself, but He shares it with us. How swell. We should be thankful for peace that comes from God, because when He calls us to it, He gives it to us and we feel it. 2 Timothy 2:22-23 says, flee also from youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Now let's open up the big question for tonight. Are peace and righteousness related? Does sin cause fear? I think so. Let's start with Psalm 37:37. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. So he can have peace. God says someone can have peace. What about the unbeliever? This verse should strike us. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that you will not hear. Ooh. Psalm 1:1-6. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. On His law he meditates day and night, like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that it does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of righteous. The wicked are like chaff. They have no safety. I remember my grandpa, I used to have a lot of questions for him about when he was a teenager, because when he was 15, his family didn't have enough money to have all the kids there at the house, so he went to the family ranch in Montana to be a cowboy. And this didn't bother a 15-year-old boy. Quit school to be a cowboy, okay. Well, they wanted to be like the big boys, so when they get into it at the movie theaters, he'd go back home and bring a gun into town sometimes. And when they'd smoke cigarettes, he wanted to be like them. So he told me he tried to learn how to roll his own cigarettes, put tobacco in a piece of paper and roll it up. And he said the wind would blow it, everywhere. He said, I never could smoke cigarettes, so I didn't smoke, get hooked because I couldn't roll my own cigarettes. Well, listen to me. Sinners have just as much safety, like the chaff that they are, as the hands of tobacco in the hands of that silly little boy out there on a horse. It's going to blow away and be forgotten. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice truth. There is no safety, no peace without God. True fear comes with sin. Do you remember the moment that you realized you weren't saved? Some of us were saved young, so we don't. I really do. I went from not being afraid of anything to a fault, to a terrible fault. I'll give you. I used to work outside of the Army. I was in law enforcement, corrections in the Army, and I worked at Kansas City at an establishment that served alcohol. And I was the man that let people in or out, and they wanted them out quick if they wanted them out. But that wasn't why I was there. I liked to watch the guys with a lot of money in their pocket, the pimps with the green suits, the chains. And I like to watch the drug dealers that come in with a lot of women themselves. And then I like to go rob them with my gun. I would rob these men. And I didn't have any fear in my heart. I was not scared. And you know what? Sometimes those guys weren't scared either. And you wouldn't get but maybe $1,000 to $5,000 on a good night. But I did it for no reason. I was not scared. And this is why I'm telling you this, though. But there was a moment that struck me in the Army, a terrible moment. And the man that was with me, still my friend today, Antoine, he looked at me and he said, I think we're going to hell for this. I shook. And one man beside me vomited. I smoked a cigarette. And the other man sat down and held his head. And I said, yeah, we are. And I thought about that. I don't know that any other man there thought about that as much as I did. But I thought, oh, Cody, you don't show that you believe in God through your works. So I got so scared. I started carrying a little gun with me everywhere. A little 25 automatic that was my great-grandpa's. He accidentally shot his finger off with the one. And I started wearing my seatbelt in the car. I started taking my time and watching where I was going after work and not robbing people. I was scared to death. I heard Will Andrus, though. One time I was home on leave visiting a pretty little girl. And Will was teaching. And he was talking about Paul and Paul's conversion through Acts. Paul had persecuted the church and done all these evil things. And God saw fit to save him. So I thought, you know what? Maybe there is a chance for me. And when I was saved shortly before we got married, it took a little bit to shake off. I used to sleep with a shotgun under my pillow and I would get up and, who's in the house? Who's in the house? And things like this. And I'm still jumpy a little bit sometimes. We're not always promised happiness in this life, are we, Christians? Jesus didn't always have a happy life. But we can have joy and peace through Jesus Christ. And why I share that is because I never knew any fear until I feared the Lord. And I hope that if there is one person that hears this that does not fear the Lord, they realize that they need to. So how does peace relate to our obedience in this? Well, if we're not obedient, sin makes guilt, doesn't it? It drives a wedge, and guilt makes fear, and fear makes more guilt and sin, and we just get all jumbled up. So how do we relate this? Psalm 119, 165, and 166. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For the length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. There's an age-old problem that we have. We think sin will make us happy, don't we? And then we try it a little bit, and we feel distant from God. But remember the first case, Adam, where are you? Who told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? He was ashamed. He didn't want to talk to God who he lived so peaceably with in the garden. He was ashamed. That's an awful feeling. That would have been scarier than if one of the tigers or lions in the garden had turned and just began to attack him out of nowhere. The distance between God and man. Our sins are, they're magnified before him. He can see everything. He knows all. We should have more shame sometimes, like Adam had. And you know what's terrible is Christ had to take our shame. Christ took on our shame in front of the world. The first song that we sang this morning before I taught at Richland Creek was At the Cross. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, and did he devote the sacred head for such a worm as I? Such a worm as I. Christ took our shame. Our shame dread puts a wedge between us and Christ too. And our sins are magnified before him. He knows. Have you ever been to a female dentist that has glasses? I've had two. And in the service, I had an injury that cracked one of my big teeth all the way down. And they never could fix it right. It cracked all the way through both sides. And they said, the VA will fix it when you get home. Well, I ended up at a dentist 2 or 3 years later, and she said, we're going to pull it. And so next thing I saw was these little glasses up in my face, but not just her glasses. They go down, and extend out. And she's up with two of her feet on my knees and these glasses right in my face. And I started making a noise, and she said, are you hurt? And I was laughing. I said, no, your glasses are cracking me up. But they're pretty common. My new dentist has them too. And I said, boy, I bet they can, she knows I don't floss sometimes. They can really see in there. So, God knows. As humans, sometimes, sadly, we have to learn the art of smelling out a rat, don't we? Ourselves. But even if we get good at it, some slip through, don't they? They slip through. Not with God. He knows the snake from the sheep, or the sheep from the goat, right, James? He knows. As a side note, though, don't let man's self-righteous ways, legalism, extra-biblical opinions, New Age ideas, things like this, keep you from God. Don't let the self-righteous spoil your dinner plate, right, Vern? Don't let them do that to you. We live by His laws and His alone. Beware legalism. A good sermon to listen to would be Pastor's Sermon on Assurance if you're struggling with some of that. But it's important that we examine ourselves and that we repent. I think that we'll often remind ourselves in this world that it's worthy to take the time to bear the troubles of the world. People hating me, or my sinful neighbor could attack me, or I have a bum knee, or things like this. We're ready to say, God, I trust you in this, but we won't stop ourselves from causing our own problems with sin. We neglect the trouble that we bring on ourselves by sin. And we do. We bring it on ourselves. We don't look at our own part in our own trouble. And on top of that, we complain about it once it's all blown up, right? Humans are very predictable. They're from the outside looking in, they're so predictable. Men more so than women. But you can often further out see the trouble coming. I'll give you an example. This morning we were 2 minutes before leaving the house to go preach. The wildest game of Ring Around the Rosie I've ever seen in my life. So I won't tell you the two girls' names, but two girls from this church were at my house playing Ring Around the Rosie crazy. And I said, slow down or you're going to bust your head. No one listened to me. And the next thing I know, my head and mom saying, you're going to have a red face for church. Well, it's predictable. And I told you so. But God has told us so too. God has told us so. If you're reading the Word every single day like you should be, God has told us so. And we still do it. Sin's a trap and a deadly one. We love it, though. We love it. Mankind loves it. Will we live in misery for something that will drag us down in the depths? Sadly, yeah. Yeah, we will. I would rather you live in, quote unquote, not misery, but hard times for Christ than spoil your life for sin. So from, like I said, the outside looking in with other people, we can say, I told you so. We should do that with ourselves. I want you to do something, though, and we talked about this earlier. I want you to take the word fear out of the fear that sin brings and put the word distance in there. The distance that sin brings. Like we said earlier, I think that hurts even worse, doesn't it? It's indescribable. The distance between God that can only healed by Christ. So we need to close in on that distance. And the way we do is repentance. Faith and repentance in Christ. And we should use those examination techniques, like we said, we use on other people and hit ourselves hard with it. This is hard to master, isn't it? Remember David when he had to be approached and he had to be told about a man's sheep that was killed in order to bring around that he should be guilty for murder and adultery? That's us. That's us. Do you work hard at repentance? Do you work hard at it? Or do you just panic like there's nothing you can do? It's a quick way to get burnt out in life. Just panic and keep sinning. Sinning out of habit. People sin out of habit. It's a true fact, and this was shoved in my head in the service as well. Two men can have the exact same circumstance, the exact same injury, and this is why I'm standing here today, because they drilled it in my head. And one man can die from it because he throws a fit, loses his mind, loses his focus, only thinks about himself, panics, and dies. A man could get shot in the hand and bleed out within a matter of 40 minutes because he's throwing a fit about it and he doesn't man up and take control. So, two people with the same sin, the same circumstances, can do differently. Now, I know God is behind repentance and belief, but you must work hard. We got to work hard at it. Use effort when repenting. Use all kinds of effort. God put our elbows in a hard place to wash, so we have a little elbow grease. Put it in there. When you're serving and when you're repenting, use effort. Drastic problems call for drastic measures. If your eye causes you to sin, pull it out. If your hand, chop it off. And those are not my words. You know that. So use a lot of effort. God grants the belief in repentance, but it must look like something. And these seasons of dragging our feet or backsliding or whatever they want to call it, guys, it's wasted time and it's time you'll have to answer for. Let's knock it off. Let's quit talking about it. Tell Christians, get to it. Get to it. Work hard. While you're here, work hard. And here's what we return. We have a God that is unable to break promises, and He will give you wisdom if you pray for it. He promised that. So 1 Corinthians says God faithfully keeps His promises, right? And then James 1 tells us if you ask for wisdom, God will give it what? Generously, without finding fault. It's better than any double coupon you'll find at the store, Rose. You remember when I used to like the coupon when Shelby and I first got married? I like the coupon. But it's better than any deal you're going to find like that, because God can give you the wisdom and the courage to do these things. And God can't break a promise. Do you have strength and courage to repent? Do you? Do you even want to change, or does it suit you? Do you like it? Do you like the chaos? Now, as a reminder, there are some hard situations in life where we can't just tell people, pull yourselves up by the bootstraps right now, right? We can't. Job's friends did some of this nonsense. With a serious physical, mental affliction, we shouldn't lay guilt where guilt is not due. But we also shouldn't use that as a shield to become untouchable to the church. Don't use your health as a shield to become untouchable in the way of advice or reproof from, why aren't you at church? Or have you been reading your Bible? We shouldn't use those things. You'll know, it's hard to figure out the gray area in this, but you can almost see it with our dear brother and sister that sit in the back when they can come sometimes, right? When they can do it, they're here, guys. That's fighting hard. And they might be here for 20 minutes and have to leave because they're sick, but they're here. So, do you have courage? Do you have stamina from God? And so, we're not talking about the physical or mental issues here. Repenting from sin is a whole different ballgame, isn't it? You know when someone's trying to use it as an excuse. Stop expecting sympathy for sin and stop giving it out. Stop giving it out. Especially to kids my age. Guys that are 30 and 40. Stop handing it out to them like they're little babies. We need men in this country. We need men in this world. And I like what Richard Owen Roberts said. He was talking about a mom that came to him and said, you know, her daughter does not have any interest in God, but she's in jail. Would you pray that she gets out of jail? He said, no, I won't. I won't pray that she gets out of jail, but I'll pray that it's a means that leads her to repentance. It's an attitude we should have. So, stop expecting sympathy for your sin. And fight to the death with the sin. Fight to death with your sin. Have you ever had to fight for your life? Really fight for your life? I remember the first time I had to, I was a little boy, these little boys' age, and I lied and said I could swim in a Boy Scout deal. And so they let me way out in the middle. And the next thing I know, a kid took my float and I was just fighting for my life. So I remember what Grandpa said, when you hit the bottom, kick your feet up and go. I remember a man, I won't tell you, when I was in the Army, I was at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, were the two main places I was at. I was with a medic, from a Navy corpsman, and she was a female. She was new. She didn't know all the schedules. It was a bad time to come in because I was about to give these jokers chow. And so she comes in here, and she needs to go around and give them their Tylenol and Band-Aids for their boo-boos and things like this. And so I got in a hurry, and to the best of my recollection, James, don't slap me for this, but I took the guy out without cuffs in a hurry. You ever seen somebody do that? I used to do that a lot. And sometimes guys can slip out of cuffs too. It happens. But either way, this is not this young lady's fault. It was my fault. The guy gets out and we commence the fighting. Never had a problem with him before. And we're throwing each other around the room. She runs out. She didn't do anything wrong, but she didn't tell anybody what was going on. And so we were everywhere, guys. I'm talking about fighting for my life. And then I fell. I'm notorious for falling during fist fights. I fell. And the next thing I know, thump, boom, a kick to the chin, a kick in my throat that scares you half to death. Kick on my head, kick, kick, kick. And then you hear, and you fade out. And the next thing I know, it's in there, guys. You bring it out and you say, I'm not going to lose this. I'm not going to lose this. And it's just like doing a hard job on the farm when you're pushing up a big tire or something and you just come out of it. I bit him. I bit him and I clawed and I fought and I won. And I even got him in handcuffs. And at the end, I laid on him tired and breathing hard and him knocked out. That's how I want you to fight with sin. Because sin will drive a wedge between you and God. And anyone hearing this needs to realize that you cannot have true peace without God. So what are the critical points I want you to take home? The wicked have no peace. Number one, the wicked have no peace. Two, God calls His saints to peace. He calls us all to peace. Romans 12:8. Three, God grants that peace and wisdom. He'll give it to you. Four, a righteous heart is needed for peace. Five, work hard on that repentance. Fight it tooth and nail. Fight it tooth and nail. If you want peace, work hard for it. Six, sin brings fear and creates distance between God and man. Sin creates fear and it brings distance between God and man. I'm going to leave you with scripture. It's much better than anything that could come out of my brain. Job 5. Call out now, is there anyone who will answer you? And to which of the holy ones will you turn? For wrath kills a foolish man, and envy slays a simple one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his dwelling place. His sons are far from safety, they are crushed in the gate, and there is no deliverer. Because the hungry eat up his harvest, taking it even from the thorns, and a snare snatches their substance. For affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble spring from the ground. Yet a man is born in trouble as the sparks fly upward. But as for me, I would seek God. And to God I would commit my case, who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. He gives rain on the earth and sends water on the fields. He sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. He frustrates the devices of the crafty, so that their hand cannot carry out their plan. He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the cunning comes quickly upon them. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and they grope at noontime as if it were night, as in the night. But He saves the needy from the sword, from the mouth of the mighty, and from their hand. So the poor have hope, and injustice shuts her mouth. Behold, happy is the man who God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. For He bruises, but He binds up. He wounds, but His hands make whole. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us for the fear we sinfully and selfishly put on ourselves when we drive distance between ourselves and You. Lord, forgive us of our sinful ways. Help us to have peace with You, to know You, Lord. If there's one here that does not know You, God, I ask that You would let them know the true fear that comes without knowing You, and that they would wake up and repent. In Christ's holy name, amen.